filled with powerful and conflicting emotions. Well, frankly speaking, that's not what this morning's message is going to focus on. However, I want to take just a few moments up front to acknowledge those emotions, kind of like giving us the opportunity to take a deep breath, clear the table, so we can talk about what God has laid upon my heart to share with you this Mother's Day. Fair enough? So what are those powerful and conflicting emotions? Love? Joy? Guilt? Disappointment? Grief? They're all there, aren't they? You know, the love and joy of motherhood, they're fairly easy to understand. I mean, after all, the God-given privilege of transferring and nurturing the sacred gift of life has got to be near the top of life's list of God's exalted calls upon humanity. Amen? As a matter of fact, the recognition of that fact ought to be one of the most important purposes of every Mother's Day celebration. And I hope it is. I hope it is. So where do the emotions of guilt, disappointment, and grief enter the picture? Well, usually sometime after birth. Being a parent, especially a mother, is one tough job. Not only is it physically demanding, but it is an emotional minefield. And all the mothers said, oh my, amen. Well, there's the perfect mom landmine. Oh, there she is. And it doesn't take long to step on that one. And when it explodes, it just gets mom showered with guilt. Oh, and by the way, there's no such thing as the perfect mom. They're just flesh and blood, real life moms. And then there's the perfect child landmine. And it doesn't take long. In the first several months of a child's life, to step on that one. And when he steps on that one, the mine explodes and it covers mom with all kinds of emotional mud. Oh, my. Oh, and by the way, there's no such thing as a perfect child. There's no such thing as, there it is. Hey, Mom, I gave myself a haircut today. Or my brother. or sister. I mean, the truth of the matter is all of us were born into this broken world with the free, here's the problem, the free will ability to become broken members of the broken world, and we all make that choice. Oh, you know what? I do need to stand corrected. There was one perfect child. His name is Jesus, and he came to save us. Other than that, there's no perfect children. Then there's the landmine of grief. Grief being the regret over what might have been. For mothers of children, those unfulfilled expectations can be one bitter pill. And for those women who desire motherhood itself and have found that desire unfulfilled, even more so. I think we ought to just take a moment right now and pray for moms. Sound like a good idea? Let's pray. Father, first of all, I thank you for moms. I thank you for what you've called them to do, and I thank you for the fact that they do it. And they are a blessing. So I ask for every woman with a mother's heart, peace in the midst of the emotional minefields. Father, I pray for their strength in the face of daily relentless responsibilities that only seem to get bigger as their children get bigger. But Father, I also pray in the midst of all that for joy. Joy in the work of nurturing life for the glory of God. I pray that, Father, you would lift their chin in the midst of whatever challenge and just remind them of that high calling that you have upon their life. May it be for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, having said all that, the time has come for me to share with you the message God has given me for this Mother's Day. Are you ready? It is the number 5. What? Any ideas? Any ideas at all? What? An old crusty dad got it right over there. Only because he heard me say it yesterday morning. Yeah, it's the 5th commandment. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord is giving you. That's right. It's number 5 in the 10 commandments. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Number 5. Now, here's something worth taking note of right now. Let's look at the 10 commandments all together. Of the 10 commandments, 8 are negative. Did you notice that? Look at that. No other gods, no idols, no blasphemy. Remember the Sabbath. And honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, right smack dab in the middle, there are 2 positive commandments. And then we get back to the negative ones again. No murder, no adultery, no theft, no lying, no coveting. Well, you know, just making a simple observation, the 8 negative commandments are easy. Amen? Don't do these things! Does anybody need any deep theological explanation as to the 8 negative commands? Don't do these things! Okay. Simple enough. And then we get to that, remember the Sabbath. It's one of the first of the 2 positive commandments. That's actually pretty easy too, because we have some instruction as to how we can do that. So what are we to do to remember the Sabbath? Well, we're to remember that God is our creator. He made the world in 6 days and he rested on the 7th. We should remember who he is and then do what he did. Does anybody need any deep explanation beyond that? Are we pretty clear with the first of the 2 positive commandments? Okay. We're down to number 5, which is the last one. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. Well, the next question that needs to be answered is a pretty simple one. How do we do that? We don't have any instruction, do we? How are we going to do that? What's that look like? Well, today's message is the first of a 2-part series intended to give a practical answer to that question. How do we honor our father and mother? The first installment is today, this Mother's Day. Then the second's going to come about a month from now on Father's Day. We're going to answer the same question. Now here's the challenge we face. While the fifth commandment tells us what we should do, honor your father and mother, it doesn't tell us how we are to do that. And the answer to that question is going to require us to look elsewhere in Scripture. And what's more, there's not just one answer to the question. As a matter of fact, the answer depends on the stage of life in which we find ourselves. That's a very important point I want you to think about. Different answer for the different times of our life. How do you honor your mother and father? We're going to let the Scripture speak directly to that question. Now, what you're going to hear this morning is for each of us here. Mother or not, fact of the matter is, I know one thing about you. The fact that you're here tells me you have a mother. And say, this sermon is getting real deep, isn't it? And I know something else. Not only do you have a mother, but God has given a direct command regarding her. And this is going to be your responsibility. Honor your mother. So, we're going to do just that by looking at God's word. And all I want you to do this morning is remember one number and four words. Does that sound manageable? Do I need to wake anybody up between the words or the number? Okay, so here's the first thing. The number, what is that? It's the fifth commandment. And what is the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. Okay, we're doing pretty good. Now, we're going to begin with our first word. And this first word is for those of you still living in your parents' home. You kids, are you ready? Here's the first word. Obey. Uh-oh. God's word says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then it's interesting. The very next thing. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You know what? I'm looking at you guys. You know? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Where's Winston? He's in the nursery. What kind of excuse is that? Well, you tell him I said this, okay? You know, sometimes it's easy to obey, right? Yeah, and sometimes it's really hard. Why is that? What makes it hard to obey? Well, when mom looks at you and tells you to do something you don't want to do. And now that is exactly that point in time where this comes into play. Because you know what? When you obey God, when it's not your thing by obeying your mom, that pleases him. That really does. Now, let me give you some helpful tips here, guys, okay? Are you ready for this? Are you ready? Brace yourselves. Here it comes. When mom gives you a direction, just say two words. Are you ready? Yes, ma'am. Isn't it time for junior church yet? Let's practice that. Okay, so mom tells you to do something, and you look at her and you say, okay, we're going to try that with a little more feeling. Mom tells you to do something, and you're going to look at her and you're going to say, bingo! Excellent, nothing but net. Okay, don't get excited, people. And whatever you do, don't do this. Don't argue. Okay? Don't do that. And whatever mom tells you to do, do it with a good attitude. Because you know, mom's going, oh, more. Because you know you can do it this way. It's like mom tells you to do something and you say, yes, ma'am. You know? Don't do it that way. No. Do it with a good attitude. And one more little tip, okay? Here we go. When mom tells you to do something, yes, ma'am, with a good attitude, and then do it to the very best of your ability. Can anybody say, make your bed? All right? You ever get that one? Three more things, and I'm going to spring you guys, okay? Let me give you three reasons why obey, that one word, needs to be one of your favorite words. Here's the first reason. When you obey mom, you will honor your mother, and you'll please God. Yep, you'll make him happy. Second, when you obey mom, you will save yourself a lot of pain and heartache by avoiding the dumb things other kids do. You ever see a kid do something stupid? If you obey mom, you'll avoid a whole lot of that. And here's just one more thing. Learning to obey is one of life's most important lessons. If you learn how to do it now, you're going to get along so much better in life. I remember when I was young, back during the Great Depression. And my mom told me to do something. And I didn't follow my own advice that I just gave. I had a bad attitude. And I said, I don't see why I have to do this. You know what she said to me? She looked at me and she said, you're going to have to answer to people for the rest of your life. And I thought she didn't know what she was talking about until I became a preacher. Oh, it's an important lesson to learn. Obey. Did you take notes? Okay, you're going to have a little conversation with Winston later, right? Okay, good. Okay, junior church is dismissed. You guys are out of here. A few of you guys were hiding underneath the pews. What was that all about? Whew. Okay. All right, now that they're all gone, I'm going to tell the secrets. Now, the next two words are for those who are just at the point of leaving mom's house to set off on their own into the big adult world. And here they are. Be responsible. Thought I'd get a little more cheering with that one. Maybe not. Listen to God's word again. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. You know, there's a term that's gotten real popular over the last few years for this very concept. It's called adulting. Isn't that interesting? Adulting. I never heard that until a few years ago. So the question is, exactly when does somebody become an adult? Any ideas? When they what? When they put away childish. I've heard the answer a couple times now. Yeah. It's the moment they decide to stop being a child. It's a decision. And it's exactly what Paul means when he says, I put away childish things. I made a decision to stop being a child. Well, then there's another question. At what age does that happen? Can anybody help me out with that? I mean, back in the ancient Hebrew world, that happened at age 13. You know, and even today, they have the bet mitzvah, I'm not a very good Jew, and the bar mitzvah, age 13. That's when you transition from being a child into adulthood. It's age 13. Wow. So today, that happens somewhere around maybe 30 or 40 or maybe never. Have you noticed that? Here's the point. It's a decision. It's not a date on the calendar. Just like Paul said, there came a point in my time, my life, in my thinking, where I said, today, I am going to be an adult, and I'm going to put away the childish things. In other words, be responsible. I remember exactly when that happened with me. It was my senior year in high school, and I had gotten a job, believe it or not, a full-time job in a neighboring town, and I needed to move closer to that job. I still went to high school till about, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I would drive from my high school a good 45 minutes to this neighboring town to work the 3 to 11 shift in a factory. I did that. So I needed to move closer to where the job was, so I was moving in with my grandmother. And I remember standing in the driveway of the house that I'd grown up in, and there I was next to the car, my mother's car, wearing the clothes that my mother had provided for me, and I was getting ready to launch into the big adult world by going to move in with my grandma. And I said to Mom, I said, you know what, Mom, it's been nice knowing you these 18 years, and I know this is going to break your heart, but I'll see you later. And I expected, a good mom would have thrown herself on the ground and started weeping, grabbing my ankles. Don't leave me, honey! She didn't miss a beat. She looked at me and she said, from the moment I brought you home from the hospital, I've been preparing you for this day. I had a deep urge to go back to my old bedroom and move all my stuff back. Not really. Talk about stealing my thunder. But you know what? She understood something very important. I had made a decision that I was putting away the childish things. And she let me do it. So what are the childish ways we must put behind us in order to become the responsible adults that honor Mom? Well, let's look back at our text. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where that verse came from. Now, I'm going to ask you guys some biblical questions. You can help me out here. What is the whole point behind 1 Corinthians chapter 13? What's the subject? Love. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Love. So, given what Paul says here as he writes to the Corinthians, children are in view, and that point in time when they decide to become adults is in view, but the whole subject of the chapter is the subject of love. So let me ask you a simple question. What do children love? Boy, I got some quick answers there. I didn't hear them all. Can we agree that they love themselves? And they love their desires? And if you disagree with me, just get in the way of a kid's love of himself or his desires. You'll see what happens, right? And when Paul says, there came a point in time when I gave up my childish ways, and the whole 13th chapter of that first letter to the Corinthians is all about how we as Christians ought to have regard and love each other in the body of Christ. So what's he talking about? What does it take to become an adult? It requires that you fall out of love with yourself. Because you know what adults do? Children just love themselves and their own desires. But you know what adults do? What good Christian adults do? Does anybody remember the greatest commandments? What's the first one? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. See, children need to get over themselves so that they've got enough room in their life to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. What's the second one? And love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe that when Paul says, I put away the childish ways, that's exactly what he's talking about in the context of that chapter. You know, that's a challenge because today I see a lot of people in their 20s, 30s, and even later who haven't put away the childish things yet. They love themselves. They love their agenda. They love their own desires. You know, when you find yourself at that stage in life where you're leaving mom's home and you want to honor her, I'm going to give you one more word. Launch. Launch. How are you going to do that? Fall out of love with yourself. Fall in love with the Lord and the people around you. You know what your mom's going to say about you then when she sees that in you? I'm so proud of him. Want to honor mom? If you're in that phase of your life, there's the simple challenge. You know, the heart of adulting is learning to love something other than yourself or your own desires. That's really the truth. And that's the challenge. And when we take it up, we honor mom. Okay, one more word to our list. This is word number four. This word is for those who themselves have fully navigated the adult world and now find themselves caring for their aged mother. And that final word is protect. Protect. Listen to Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Wow, that's real practical, isn't it? So what Scripture is talking about here really is, it states it in a negative way, but what it's talking about in a very positive way, we would call respect. Do not despise, do not disrespect your mother when she's old. So what's the opposite of that? Well, respect mom. To respect our aged mother is to carry out God's command to honor your mother. It's very clear. So what does it mean to respect mom? Well, I believe it means to protect mom. You know, you may come up with some other ideas, and that's great. I'd love to hear them, but I'll give you mine. To respect mom, to honor mom, is to protect mom. And the first thing is to protect her dignity. Protect her dignity. How do you do that? How do you protect mom's dignity? Well, you can use your ears. Okay? Take the time to listen. Kind of funny because, you know, what's the big complaint about what old people do? They repeat themselves over and over and over again. But let me ask you, when mom's repeating herself, is what she's saying wise? Most often it is. Mm-hmm. Well, then why does she repeat herself? Well, you know, her brain. What?
Because we can get it the first 15 times.
because you're so thick, so slow. You know, we'd like to write it off with dementia, right? You know? But maybe mom is completely in her right mind. And she's looking at you and saying, I got to keep saying this because you're not getting it. But regardless, whatever the case may be, listen. And I know it takes time. You know, one of the biggest things that I've seen with the elderly is that they are lonely. They won't admit it, but they're lonely. I first encountered this when I was just a little kid in elementary school with my paper route. And Saturdays I would go and collect the 75 cents that I was owed for the week's worth of newspapers. And there was always one guy. I hated going there because he'd corner me. And that 75 cents cost me a good hour of him complaining. And I finally, it dawned on me. He was lonely. Nobody would listen to him. Protect her dignity. Take the time to listen. Use your ears. God gave you a couple of them. What a wonderful tool to use to honor your mom. Here's another way you can protect her dignity. Use your words. Don't talk down to mom. Use honesty and respect. You know, my grandmother suffered a stroke in her later years, and she really became pretty much unmanageable. For some strange reason, I was the only one who could deal with grandma. And even though she couldn't answer me, I would go and I would look at her and I would talk to her like an adult. You know something else I've noticed when you go to the nursing home? If you talk to people there like they're old people who've lost their mind, you know what kind of response you'll get? The response of someone who looks like they've lost their mind. So I have a personal policy in dealing with the aged. I make it a point to talk to them like they're 30 years old. You know what happens when you use your words like that? They open up. You know why they don't open up when you talk to them like they've lost their mind? They know you're not going to listen. But if you talk to them like they're 30 years old and they still have a brain in their head, they blossom like a flower. And they've got a lot of great things to say and a lot of great things to listen to. Use honesty and respect as you talk to your mom, and that will honor her. It will. Now, if you're wondering whether my mother agrees with it, I already shared the outline with her, so you can cross-check me, okay? We talked about this. Don't talk to her like she's a child. And please, don't talk to her or talk about her like she's not in the room. Don't do that. Honor your mother. Protect her dignity. Well, here's another way that I think we can honor our mother when she is old, and that is to protect her autonomy. What's autonomy? I would propose to you that autonomy is the one thing that separates us from all of creation. Autonomy is the thing that makes us created in the image of God. There is no other element of the creation that has the ability to congeal thought and make a decision. Everything else runs on a program, but we don't. We have this thing, autonomy. Some call it free will. Some people say it's the freedom of choice. But it is exactly the thing that makes us created in the image of God. And you know what the reality is? As we age, we progressively lose our autonomy, don't we? You live long enough, and there'll be a time when you need to hand over your car keys. You live long enough, there will come a time when you won't be able to manage your business affairs. It's just the truth of what happens to us as we age. But here's what I would encourage you to do. As long as you possibly can, protect mom's autonomy. Let her make decisions. You don't have to agree with every decision as long as it doesn't hurt. Let her make her decisions. And if the decision she makes is an inconvenience to you, bear that inconvenience. Chances are pretty good you may have inconvenienced her a time or two while you were growing up, right? Protect her autonomy, even as she has to let go of it. You do that, and you will honor your mother. And listen, be sympathetic. When the time comes that she has to give up something related to her autonomy, there's some grief that goes along with that, with her. Be sympathetic. It's okay. You can feel along with her in that, and you will honor your mother. Listen, honoring your mother, it's not simply about what you and I feel. I think that's where we get sideways on Mother's Day. It's about what we do as we interact with her. And not just one day out of the year, but every day we have with her, have her with us this side of eternity. It's not just one day, it's every day. But you might say, but my mother is long since passed. How can I honor her now? Well, there are a couple of ways. First, if she was a Christian, continue to live out the legacy of her faith. It's exactly what Paul encouraged Timothy to do when he wrote these words. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, listen to this, and in your mother Eunice, go ahead and hit that button. Go ahead. Yep, there it is. Which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded now lives in you also. You want to honor your mother? That torch of faith that she has handed down, wrap your hand around it. Go forward with that. I tell you what, that is an honoring thing, whether mom is alive or is passed on. Carry that torch of faith. But there's another way, and it relates to the reality of the possibility that maybe your mom wasn't a Christian. How can you honor your mother who has passed away, who wasn't a Christian? Choose to be one yourself. I absolutely can guarantee you that from her perspective in eternity, nothing would please her more or make her more proud, because she knows the truth now. Honor your mother. God's given us the challenge for his glory, for mom's honor. Let's carry